This is BBC Radio 5 Live, available on the BBC Sounds app with Stephen Nolan.
Really interesting interview coming up. A lot is being made of Sweden's so-called light touch approach in dealing with coronavirus. It's seen the country so far resisting a full lockdown. Bars, restaurants and schools remain open, while public gatherings of up to 50 people are still permissible in Sweden. So far, there have been 18,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases in Sweden, a country of a population of just over 10 million, and just over 2,000 deaths. Sweden's death toll is higher than its Scandinavian neighbours, Denmark, Norway and Finland, who have had stricter lockdowns. But its rate of cases per million people has grown more slowly until now than the United Kingdom's. Professor John Gesheke is Sweden's former chief epidemiologist and now advisor to the Swedish Health Agency and World Health Organization. When I spoke to him earlier this week, the death toll from coronavirus in Sweden stood at 1,500. I asked him earlier this week how the situation in Sweden compared with the UK.
You shouldn't compare number of deaths until 6 months from now, then you should start counting your dead, because it will be different in different countries. And the lighter touch in Sweden has meant that a few people will die who will die in Ireland when you open up again.
So there have been around 1,500 deaths in your country?
Yes, or 10 million population.
And tell me what the thinking is between the lighter touch lockdown, Johan. What's the thinking behind it?
The main thing is that we believe that people are not stupid. If you tell people what's good for them and what's good for their fellow countrymen, most people will understand and do as we suggest. And that has worked quite well in Stockholm. The difference isn't that great, actually, between a big lockdown and the softer touch. Where you still, if you go out in Stockholm at 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, you won't see many people. Most people are at home. Some restaurants are open. Most are closed because they don't have any customers, not because of any law. There are other things that are... So the difference isn't that great, as you might imagine.
But is the thinking, Johan, that you will build up immunity within your population and that will protect people after lockdown? Is that the thinking?
That will be a very good byproduct, but the main thinking has been to protect the old and the vulnerable, to keep them free from infection. And as a byproduct of that policy, you do get immunity in the population. The Stockholm County will reach 50% immunity in about 3 weeks' time.
And how do you know that there is immunity to this disease? I thought the World Health Organization had recently urged countries to be cautious because we don't know enough about the disease yet to know that the human body can build up immunity against it.
But we're doing it in two ways. One is with this testing for antibodies, which is being discussed in the UK as well. And that's happening as we speak. And the numbers are much higher than the WHO says. So that's one. You can also look at the prevalence of the infection over time. And from that, you can deduct what the immunity, the percentage immune in the population.
And are you finding that many people are still going out and keeping social distancing then? Is that what you're finding?
Yes, because they know it's good for them. You don't have to bring in the police or threaten people with jail sentences if they go out.
And how do you think the UK is getting it wrong?
The UK was getting it right initially when the policy was very similar to the Swedish, and we were happy about that. Look, the English are doing the same as we are. But then there was this infamous paper from Imperial College about a month ago now, and UK made a U-turn overnight, which I think was unfortunate for you.
But that U-turn was based upon the UK watching the graphs of number of deaths significantly increase. And because of our lockdown,
Wait. You were doing it on the curves of a modeling study, not the real curves. The modeling study said you'd have, 500,000 dead or something. I can't remember now. Always a strange number. And that changes. So it wasn't not the curves themselves. It was the model of the future curves that made you change.
But that lockdown was also, Johan, wasn't it, to stop the NHS being overwhelmed and to stop a surge in the number of people needing ventilators that we didn't have?
Yes, but that was also from the same paper, and the projections were gravely overestimated.
So has your health system been able to cope with the number of sick people needing ventilators?
Yep. And another thing with the Imperial paper is that they assume that the capacity of the healthcare system would be the same over time. In Sweden, it's trebled, and that went rather easy, actually, to treble the intensive care capacity.
Well, how was it easy if there's a worldwide shortage of PPE and ventilators?
Well, I don't know where we found them, but we did find them, actually. The PPE has been a problem. I'll admit that. That has been difficult at some. Not for the hospitals, but more for a much more important group, and that's for the carers for the old and vulnerable. They had difficulty finding PPE.
So what is the capacity level? How does the demand compare with the supply in terms of capacity in your ICU units at the moment? So you've had this relative light touch lockdown. How much free capacity is there in your ICUs to care for people who have got sick from coronavirus?
At present, we have about 10% of the beds are still empty in the ICUs in Sweden. The overall number is somewhere around 500. Maybe more ventilators, maybe it's 900, but it's enough to keep the population alive. And so trebling... Sorry.
I hope you don't get completely confused with me here, frustrated with me, but I'm totally confused as to how a model like Sweden's, which has not gone for this intensive lockdown, still has spare capacity in its NHS system. I don't understand, because we've been told here lockdown is to protect the NHS's capacity to care for people. Why have you got this free capacity? How come?
Because the demand for ICU care is much lower than you projected. Much lower.
Why?
Because of your projection, of course. Your projection was wrong.
It is also possible that you have a different demographic. There are lots of people in Sweden who live alone. So we cannot compare country to country without taking that into account, correct?
No, you're right. There are more people living on their own, and I think you have more bigger families and also different. You have grandmothers and grandfathers with their children and their children. So there is a difference. But I think in general, when we look at what countries have done and what's effective and what's, we should wait another year. That's when we can really see what's happened. It's too early now.
So when you're saying that we shouldn't be counting the number of people, the mortality rates now, that it's about the long term, are you suggesting that the different approaches will even out over time?
Yes, because this is a disease that's very contagious, far more contagious than we first believed. And it's spreading. There's no way to stop it. It's spreading. It will reach every corner of your country and Sweden as well in the end. Unless the vaccine comes first, but that's doubtful.
So if you're suggesting that the curves will even out, that the mortality rates will even out, explain to me, and sorry that you're having to repeat yourself, but explain to me so that I can understand it, why they would even out. Because obviously at the moment you have more deaths per head of population than we have here in Northern Ireland, where we have a more intensive lockdown. So why do you think that will eventually even out?
Because you have to lift the lockdown at some point. And at that point there would be deaths in Ireland or in the UK.
Sorry, I don't understand. Tell me that again.
Well, when you ease the lockup and the virus starts spreading again, which it will, then you'll have more deaths.
But why will you at the same time not have more deaths when there's a second wave for your country?
There's not a second wave. I'm not talking about second wave. I'm talking about the first wave. And because we'll have herd immunity by the time other countries start opening or start lifting their lockdown, which means that the virus won't spread very much more in Sweden, whereas you'll have this problem when you lift the lockdown that you have higher number of cases and deaths in that.
But that is predicated, as I said at the beginning, on your guess, and that's what it's got to be, Johan, that there will be herd immunity, because the World Health Organization has said that there is no proof that the human body will have immunity to this disease, and indeed how long that immunity will last.
Oh, I agree. There will be immunity, that's clear. But the question is how long it will last. I think it will last over this outbreak, over this pandemic, I think.
Why do you think that?
Because it's a coronavirus, and we know about 6 other coronaviruses, and why would this be special?
But that's a big presumption that the World Health Organization are advising to be cautious against.
Sorry, that I missed.
That is a big presumption of yours, that the World Health Organization are advising people to be cautious about. They're telling governments be cautious about these antibody tests because there is no evidence to prove how much immunity or how long immunity will last.
I think they're wrong there. But I agree. We don't know. We can just presume, like you said.
So what you're doing is taking a gamble rather than taking the safer route, which is to lock down your community. Why is that not safer?
There hasn't been any proven case of anyone getting a second time corona infection. If you had it once, you don't get it second. I admit the time is short, and that may change. But so far, there has been no reinfections observed.
So what is the infection rate in Sweden now? Are you doing mass testing?
Yeah, in a way. It's about 2.5% prevalence right now.
2.5% what?
Are sick right now. Or infected right now, I should say. Not sick, infected. Because, you know, this infection was mostly spread from people who are asymptomatic to other people who are asymptomatic. So most of the spread of the virus you don't even see. It's from people who think they're healthy to other people who will also feel healthy. The severe cases are a minority of all the disease spread.
And that 2.5% that you believe are infected now...
That we know, not believe. We know that 2.5% are infected.
How do you know?
Or they're sick right now. Because they've been tested with PCR tests. Out of a big sample of Swedish people, 2.5% were PCR positive, which means that they have the infection right now.
But for you to achieve herd immunity, surely you need over 50%. You need a far bigger proportion of your population to.
But we can't mix two things here. One is if you have the infection right now, and one is if you had it. There are two different tests. And you and I are not talking about the same thing now. I will say 2.5% have the infection right now, and we believe they will be immune afterwards. At the same time, we're testing large groups for antibody, and we're finding that present 30% of the Stockholm population is immune or has had the infection.
So in other words, already has had it and are getting on with their lives?
Yes.
And does 30% provide herd immunity?
No, but it's growing. But as we speak, there are more and more people becoming infected. So we had the maximum peak in spread last week, probably. And to go from 30 to 50% will go quickly. That will only take weeks.
And how many deaths then, Johan, is the... You're an advisor to the Swedish Health Agency. Mm. How many deaths... is an acceptable, within your graphs, amount of deaths?
Well, as little as possible, of course. But I don't think we'll... And you're wrong. I could go on forever about this. Countries measure mortality in very different ways. Why do you think Belgium has twice the mortality rate to the Netherlands? Give a guess.
Very because they're measuring it differently.
Yes, because in Holland they don't count the cases in nursing homes. They don't include them in the statistics. And there are many examples of this, that countries are counting mortality in very different ways.
And how are you treating people in the vulnerable groups, in other words, the elderly and those with underlying health conditions? Have you a different strategy towards those people in terms of lockdown?
Well, we have prohibited visits to nursing homes from relatives or friends. You can't go into a nursing home right now.
And are you advising over 70-year-olds to stay inside like we are?
Yes, but of course they should go out and take a walk in the fresh spring air, not to get too close to other people, but to sit inside locked up for 3 months isn't good for your health. You should go out.
And how will those elderly people in your model eventually go back outside again?
Oh, they are outside already. They're taking a walk in the park. They're meeting friends. They have a thermos with coffee and sit 5 feet apart on a park bench. They are not locked up. Why should they be? I'm sorry. I have another meeting in 2 minutes.
Okay. I understand. Just let me ask one more question, Johan, because you've been fascinating today. So for those of us here in the UK who are staying at home as much as we possibly can, you're essentially saying that you think our mortality rate will be no different in the long run to yours. Is that correct?
Yes. That's an educated guess.
Okay. Professor, thank you very much indeed.
I can suggest it in 1 year from now. I open up to that. That would be nice, and see who is right.
Okay. Professor, thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
So there's a guy that doesn't take any nonsense, eh? Professor Johan Gesheike issuing that challenge to come back to him in a year's time, and let's see who's right, he said. If you want to react to that, 0808 5 909 693.